Directions Media. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, May 20th, 2008. Each week, this podcast examines news and trends in geospatial technologies. This is Dina Schutzberg, and I'm joined by my colleague, Joe Francica. This week, we evaluate key announcements from the 2008 edition of WEAR 2.0. In particular, we'll explore the updated relationship between ESRI and Google. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Experience the geographic advantage with ESRI's ArcGIS server, a comprehensive platform for cost-effectively delivering enterprise GIS applications. Learn more about ArcGIS server at www.esri.com/directionsmag.
Now, unfortunately, I have to start out this conversation by saying that Directions Media was not represented at WEAR 2.0 this year. The good news is that there was quite a bit of coverage via blogs, via Twitter. O'Reilly put up a bunch of videos of the presentations, which made it very easy to follow what was going on if you were at home. And that was how we were following the announcements that were being made. And the biggest one for the GIS community really has to do with how ESRI and Google are enabling the sharing of data and services. And the way I want to approach this is sort of in two pieces. First, let's talk about the announcements that ESRI made, and then we'll talk about the announcements that Google made. Starting with ESRI, what ESRI is going to do in the next version of ArcGIS Server, that's 9.3, which, according to Jack Dangerman, speaking at the conference, will be available in about 4 weeks. What that will have in it is tools to make the metadata services within ArcGIS Server scrapable into KML. And what that in turn means is that Google's tools for search will be able to find the data that's sitting and powering an ArcGIS Server implementation. Now, along with that, Google will be able to find the services that go with that data. The other announcement that ESRI made had to do with the API for ArcGIS, and that had to do with enhancements to the JavaScript to make it more conducive to plugging into other web properties for mashups. But it's that first one that I think is really going to change what's going on in the geospatial community. What it really boils down to is that instead of GIS data and services being, in a sense, hidden, there was no easy way to find them. Now, if users choose, in their server implementations, they can make all of that data and services findable. Now, what's your reaction to that, Joe, as you heard it?
Well, it's obviously a significant development. And the way I read that is users of ArcGIS Server who have stored all of their geospatial data will be able to avail themselves of KML and hence make that searchable by any type of a Google search. So if you want to expose data that you've captured, make it searchable, that this is the way to do it. Is that how you read it?
Yeah, it really is. And I think the real challenge up until this point, and I've been writing about this and speaking about it for years and years and years, is that it's very hard to find geospatial data. And we've got some tools that are supposed to help, things like Geospatial One Stop, and there's certainly specialty sites that allow you to search for data or specific kinds of services like WMS and WFS. But the practical nature of finding GIS data has just been really difficult. And what this does is it basically gives you a button you can push if you have ArcGIS Server that basically makes it all findable and then potentially usable.
So does that render some of the services that you just mentioned, does that render them kind of obsolete, powerless? You know,
well,
what's that mean for the general industry?
How they're used could very well change with something like this. In fact, it sure sounds like making some tweaks to WFS and WMSs or adding on to them the ability to create some KML to make them searchable just as ESRI have wouldn't be a bad idea, whether it's part of the spec or it's something that somebody does in their implementation.
So if we took a typical example, a typical user, let's say that they're in a local government and they want to expose some of the information captured for land use planning, things done by the Department of Transportation, and take a bit of that, take a bit of the metadata, expose it to more of the public. Let's say that a participating engineering service, an AEC firm, may want to use some of that data. They'll now be able to search through just a standard Google search and be able to retrieve that information, or at least the metadata about that information,
right,
for their own purposes.
Right, and that's actually what Jack Dangerman showed on stage. And I should point out right here that there is a video of the presentation that John Hanke and Jack Dangerman made, and I encourage people to watch it because the two of them make very clear what it is they're trying to do. And what Dangerman did was do that kind of a search, find some data. It streamed in KML. He brought it into Google Earth. And then he used one of the services, one of the ArcGIS services, to do some analysis right there in Google Earth. It was really pretty impressive. And ideally, that could be done with any data that is chosen to be made available, findable, and usable. So I think it's a huge step. Now, ESRI has some definite interest in making this step and, in a sense, bridging this gap between the professional GIS users, maybe, and what are being referred to now as the neo-geographers. This is really a terrific handshake between those communities at a technical level. Now, having said that, the actual technology of doing this, from what I understand, is not a big deal. So it's really much more of a symbolic gesture of, yes, we want to participate in this new world in this new way. I like to think that ESRI is getting more comfortable with the role that the company and its user community are going to play in this new world of Web 2.0 and mashups and so forth.
Because if we look back a couple of years when all of this started to first come down, there probably was some competition between the new geographers and the traditional GIS players. But certainly ESRI is stepping up into a role where making that a lot more conducive for the two communities to work closer together. But what I want to ask, concept of the Web 2.0 is a lot is free. Do you see any drawbacks to this type of arrangement? Is there something that we're missing here that maybe is not so good?
I think what you're driving at, and this was actually brought up in one of the questions at the end of the session, which basically said, well, okay, the technology is there. Does that mean the data is going to be freely available? And the answer is, well, no. The organizational, political challenges to making data freely available are still out there. That hasn't changed. What has happened is that technically it's a lot simpler to do. The other thing that this announcement does is I think it really puts a lot of pressure on all the other providers of web data to do the same kinds of things and make it searchable, make KML scrapable, and make the data and the services available. And having said that, I should point out that the folks, the GeoServer folks, have already started doing just this, just what ESRI has announced that it's going to do, and that's, of course, a product in the open source world.
Can you look into the crystal ball a little bit and say now that KML is kind of one of those established mechanisms for allowing data to be searchable, is this something that has ramifications in the future for, you know, the professional GIS person?
I do think this is a key inflection point, and certainly KML and its widespread adoption, even before it was an OGC standard, was certainly changing the way geospatial data was shared and created. Now it's just sort of gotten a big, giant vote of confidence from a big part of the geospatial community.
One of the things that came to mind, we both had discussions with Michael Jones, the Chief Technology Officer at Google, is that the world's data becomes more searchable, more accessible. And one of the things that caught my attention was, when I had spoke to him once, was can you now be able to construct complex spatial queries just by using a standard Google search mechanism? And it sounds like this opens the door to doing more of that. Do you see that?
I think, and I have to sort of be careful here because I'm not as familiar with the details of the technology. Right now, I don't think the API is going to support what you're suggesting, but that doesn't mean it can't. And my gut feeling is that if this relationship between ESRI and Google remains healthy, ESRI could do an awful lot to help implement that into the API. So stay tuned.
Yeah, and that's an interesting question, and I think people who have wanted to do less with SQL statements and more with standard semantic queries, normal English queries, may be getting a boost.
Well, and that's one we'll have to see. This is really just the beginning, because this product that's going to have this feature isn't even yet out. So this is probably a good time to jump to the other side of the relationship, and that's to the Google side, and to highlight the announcements that Google made. Now, the most important one in the context of the ESRI announcement is that the geographic search tools, which have up until now been only available via Google Maps and Google Earth, are now going to be available in Google's API. And what that means is that, as you point out, anybody is going to be able to search on geographic data that's tagged via KML and find it. So that opens the door to a whole nother level of mashups and applications that can look for geospatial data out on the web. The other thing that Google did, and this relates back to what you were suggesting about Google being the organizer of the world's information, is that Google Maps now has a whole bunch more data layers that you can access through its main page. Things like real estate listings and points of interest in Wikipedia and photos from Google's photo sharing site. So a lot of the kinds of things that used to be available only in Google Earth via the KML that was saved by those who create the data, now that's also available in Google Maps. So we're getting closer to that vision of Google Maps and Google Earth being your front-end search to all kinds of data that's out there, user-generated and otherwise.
I had this vision that maybe we're going to create our own little workspaces, our own little globes, to be able to organize just what we want to see, bring in bits and pieces of things through standard Google searches, and potentially from partners and other people we work with. I mean, it really is kind of one of those democratization of data plays that we've seen in the past.
Just before we leave the topic of WHERE 2.0, I want to just point out two organizations, one that wasn't there, and that was Apple, which is sort of interesting as it moves into the next generation of the iPhone, which by all indications is going to be even more geospatially aware, potentially via GPS, in its next iteration. So several people noted that Apple wasn't there, but hopefully next year, right, we'll see Apple there. One of the other folks who was there, but at a very high level, Autodesk was a diamond sponsor, and yet no Autodesk announcements were made. Apparently, there was a very successful open-source workshop given by the Autodesk crew, but it was interesting that in the midst of many, many other announcements, Autodesk did not seem to have any. Any thoughts on either of those two organizations?
Certainly, I would have expected Apple to be a major part of this, and it maybe just goes along the lines of why we're not seeing those types of organizations, Apple, Intel, Cisco, be more a part of the GeoWeb, geospatial community, however you want it. We know that those companies are actively seeking out and using geospatial technology, so I'm still at a loss to figure out why some of these major technology firms are not participating with our conference at Location Intelligence or with WHERE 2.0. It would seem to be eventually those organizations will be drawn into the mix. Apple is more engaged with the telecommunications industry and the wireless industry. They're more represented at some place like CTIA than they might be at WHERE.
That's true. And actually, I think it's worth pointing out as a final comment that, to my knowledge, this is the first significant announcement that ESRI has not made at its own user conference. And I think that's another statement about the confidence ESRI is beginning to have about its position in this industry. That's all the time we have today. But before we go, ESRI would like to remind you that the 28th Annual International User Conference will be held August 4th through the 8th in San Diego, California. You can experience the largest GIS conference in the world at this annual gathering offering innovation at its best. Online registration ends June 13th. For more information, visit www.esri.com/directionsmag. We invite you to comment on this news out of WHERE 2.0 or any of the news out of WHERE You can leave comments on our blog, on our magazine website, directionsmag.com, or you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.